Welcome to the UBS Advisor Experience. This is a podcast series with advisors who have recently joined UBS from across the industry. In candid conversations, they will each share their experiences about moving to UBS, what it was like for them, what it was like for their team, and their clients. You'll get to hear firsthand about the resources and support at UBS that can help take your business to the next level. I'm your host, Emily De La Riguera. Let's get started.
Welcome back to the UBS Financial Advisor Experience Podcast. I'm your host, Emily De La Riguera, and I'm delighted today to be joined by two of my colleagues, Grant Matthews and Amy Oliver, who are based out of our Menlo Park, California office, soon to be our Palo Alto office. But Grant and Amy, it is such a pleasure, selfishly, to work with you every single day in our Menlo Park office. And I'm privileged to have been a part of your transition here to UBS and very grateful to the two of you for being a part of our podcast today. So thank you both for joining and welcome.
Thank you for having us, Emily.
Thank you, Emily.
Well, this is going to be fun because you guys are a dynamic duo, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun conversation and a lot of different perspectives that you will each bring to the table. But just to give our listeners some context, why don't you start by telling us a little bit just about yourself and the structure of your team?
Sure. My name is Amy Oliver, and I make one of the two advisors on our team. So Grant Matthews and I, we are the Matthews Oliver Group. We've been partners for 15 years. My experience in the business is about 25 years, and Grant's working on 30. We have two other team members who are both our assistants who also do financial planning and analysis. Just a smaller team, but we have about 250 households and we service generational wealth.
Wonderful. And by generational wealth, you actually are being quite humble, Amy. I know you and Grant do a phenomenal job in not just generational wealth, but also in terms of wealthy families. And I think one of the things that I love watching you and your team do really successfully every year is that Family Wealth Summit. That is such a beautiful event where you bring clients together across multiple generations. So a really wonderful team, Forbes Best in State, two very successful advisors that make up the full spectrum of being able to work with clients across multiple generations.
You know, one thing I'll add to that, Emily, is something I'm very proud of is our team collectively, the four of us, we've worked together for 47 years. Lori Mendoza has our primary client service associate. She's been working with me for 19 years. As Amy mentioned, she and I have been together for 15 years. And Shirley Chen, who is our senior wealth strategy associate, she's been with the team for 13 years. So 47 years total, which I think is pretty impressive. And, you know, we're a great team. We work well together and we're super excited to be at UBS.
Oh, the feeling is mutual. We are excited to have all four of you here. So tell us a little bit, you've been at Morgan Stanley for quite some time, Grant, and I know your father was in the business. He was here at Payne Webber previously. Amy has been at Morgan Stanley
20 years.
Exactly. I wasn't gonna call you out.
It's fine. 20 to 25 years.
So that's a really big change, right? And it's a huge change to firms. It's a huge change, even more so when you've been really comfortable and happy at a firm for a very long time. So tell us a little bit about what made you decide to join UBS. What prompted you to even consider leaving Morgan Stanley?
Well, I think it's helpful to know a little more about my background and the background of the practice. So as Emily, as you mentioned, my father was a financial advisor starting the practice in 1968 at a company called Walston & Company, which was acquired by Payne Webber in the early 70s. My father was a financial advisor for 37 years. He was also a producing branch manager for about five of those years in the Palo Alto, California, Payne Webber office. I joined him on a team in the year 2000, and shortly thereafter, that's when UBS acquired Payne Webber. He retired in 2005. Shortly thereafter, I left UBS to join a company called Smith Barney. I'm basically what they call a boomerang, right? I've come back to UBS. When I left UBS the first time back in 2005, or the only time I should say in 2005, for me, I felt like at the local level, the manager at the Smith Barney office was, I could relate to him much better than the manager I had here in my UBS office. I was still early on in my career and I needed some mentorship, and I felt like this relatively young and very energetic and passionate manager at Smith Barney could help me bring the business to the next level, which he did. But I joined a company called Smith Barney, and Smith Barney has a lot of similar characteristics and qualities that UBS does. The size is very similar. It's got a small feel to it. You know, the people, the higher ups, the management team back in New York, they knew who all the people are, all the key players, all the way out here in California. It just feels like a very cohesive unit, very family oriented. Just the size is wonderful. And so, you know, the days of Smith Barney, which for me were 2005 through, well, Morgan Stanley finally completed the full acquisition of Smith Barney in 2012. So for about 7 years that I was there, it was wonderful. I really liked that firm. I thought the local management team was fantastic. I thought the national management team was really strong. But then the acquisition happened. And, you know, in 2012, over the next 10 years that I was at Morgan Stanley, the company just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, next thing I know, I'm now working at a company that has four times the number of advisors that it did when I started with Smith Barney in 2005. So it changed the size, the access to resources and access to people within the company. That's basically what caused me to start looking around and taking that phone call from UBS to hear a little bit more about, you know, how has the firm changed? How is it the same from back in 2005 when I left? And I really liked hearing the story again.
Yeah. And if I can just add to that, kind of starting back where Grant mentioned about the business, I am from the opposite side of the country where Grant's from. I did not grow up in the business. I grew up on a farm in Kansas. And I started at Smith Barney in Chicago. Loved Smith Barney. Like Grant said, it felt like very bottom up. You know, we were able to get things done for our clients. And so when the merger happened, it was great for a long time. And Grant and I run a business that is predominantly, if not, correct me if I'm wrong, Grant, 99% referral based because of our longevity and because how we've done well for our clients, you know, working on now fourth generations. What started happening for me personally was at a point where I was, you know, becoming senior vice president, and I'd been at the firm for a long time and I'd been an advisor for a long time, and we had a mature business. The way that our office was going was really aimed at stock plan and E-Trade merger leads. And that sounds great and all, but when you don't come up in that business, there's a lot of nuances that are really hard to learn late. And at that point, it was really going backwards for me, and it was very uncomfortable. So for me, the way that we were running our business, which is, you know, predominantly referral based, and then also what Grant and I do just in the area publicly with our charities and our own work and our own networks, it was sort of just had gotten too big, and I was struggling with the change personally.
No, that's great perspective from both of you. And I would say that we have heard that time and time again from both of your perspectives. We've heard that from recruits who have joined us either from the first time from Morgan Stanley or in cases like Grant where it's been a boomerang. We've heard the same thing time and time again. Grant, I'm going to pivot a little bit to you on this question because you'll actually have the perspective of having been at UBS before and now coming back. One thing you said that really stood out is that UBS in some ways is the same firm, but in other ways is very, very different than the UBS that you grew up in 20 plus years ago. What are some of those changes that are positive that UBS either has the same of or has changed and has been a real benefit to you in coming back to UBS for your team?
Yeah, I think I'd point out a couple of things. One is the management team at the local level is much more relatable than my previous experience. having you, Emily, as our manager has been, quite frankly, a breath of fresh air, especially relative to my last experience at UBS. You know, I was here during the transition from Payne Webber to UBS Payne Webber and then to UBS. But now that, you know, we're 24 years into this merger, it's definitely a well-oiled machine now. And I would say the brand is much, obviously, much more recognizable in the U.S. You know, I remember talking to clients back in 2000, trying to explain them a little bit about UBS and who this Swiss bank was that was acquiring Payne Webber, because a lot of clients had never heard of them. Today, after making this transition a year and a half ago, we didn't have to explain, well, hardly to any clients, you know, who UBS was and their incredible history. That's a big change, is just the brand recognition here in the US for UBS. So those are some of the biggest changes I've noticed. Obviously, this would have happened at any company, but the technology has come a long way and that's very user-friendly. And anyway, yeah, it's great to be back.
I'm really glad to hear that. I think one of the things that you said to me early, I guess it was early last year, when Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic were falling apart and we were experiencing the more modern banking crisis that we saw take place last year. I remember one of the things that you said to me that really stood out is when you had a client, a fairly notable client in the Bay Area, but this client was very concerned about the banking crisis that was taking place with First Republic and Silicon Valley Bank. And I'll never forget that morning, you had brought up the concern and wanted to know if the CFO of UBS would actually get on the phone with your client, who is also a CFO, and speak to them about the impact of the banking crisis within the industry and how UBS was protected or isolated, or maybe in a better position to weather that kind of storm. And I remember that evening, we were able to get the CFO on the phone with your client. And I'll never forget that following morning when you said, I don't know that I ever would have imagined or dreamed that in the matter of hours that UBS would have been able to help us get the CFO of the company on the phone with a CFO client of ours. And I think to your earlier point, and you and Amy both said this, but to your earlier point about the access to resources and being a small firm and knowing that you two are great advisors and big fish in our UBS pond, that we would absolutely make that happen for you and your clients.
Yeah, and I think you're not giving yourself enough credit in that story, because basically the way that story unfolded, it was 13 months ago. And so, yes, I have a prominent CFO client of a very large public company with those concerns about the banking crisis last year. And I approached you and said, you know, who can I at UBS bring on the line with me to talk to him? Because he has lots of questions that I'm probably not going to be able to answer. And so you said, give me an hour. I will find somebody for him to talk to. And literally a half hour later, you came back and said, CFO of UBS, who's willing to talk to him. That's what blew me away. It's just, you know, I was told that the access at this company would be much better and just kind of have a smaller feel to it. And this was the first time I truly experienced that. And it was about 6 months after we made our transition. But the fact that you were able to get that CFO at a moment's notice, get the CFO of UBS at a moment's notice on the phone with me at a very pivotal time in the banking world, that was phenomenal. So I will never forget that. It's an example I use all the time when I'm telling clients about the transition and some of the key differences I've noticed between UBS and Morgan Stanley is just accessibility. The other story I like to share is I can't remember the last time that senior management from my previous firm back in New York came out to California to meet with the locals, local employees here. And within a month of us making our move, I think it was in October of 2022, Jason Chandler and some of his team were here in our office in Menlo Park meeting with employees, asking, you know, what can we do to make this firm better? What's working? What's not? And that to me, you know, I love this roll up the sleeves mentality that this company has and just wanting to make things better.
That's great. And I'm sitting here, you can't see me, obviously, but I'm sitting here beaming with a smile because it's so often that we tell people we know that we've got the access, we know that we've got that roll up our sleeves mentality, but it's hard to believe it until you really see it. And so I'm so thrilled
that we were able to come through and deliver on that for you and Amy and your clients, because I think that that just makes that bond now even stronger between us as local manager and FA working together for sure. Amy, if I switch gears to you, you hadn't been at UBS previously, but I'm sure you've noticed differences from your own perspective between Morgan Stanley and UBS. What have been in the first 12 to 18 months of your experience over here with Grant, what have been some of those key differences between Morgan Stanley and UBS that you've observed?
Gosh, I hope I can remember everything. But I think what Grant brought up earlier was just the support of management on the local level, asking to get something done. It sounds so simple. So that was the first thing that was just astoundingly helpful and a relief, right? A relief that we have that going forward. The second thing, I mean, I'm you know, going to bring up being a woman in this business. It feels different here. I've been to several events and there hasn't been a single person I've met in this company. And like Grant said, I met Jason Chandler within 2 weeks of being here, and I probably looked like a deer in the headlights when he was here because I hadn't left my office.
you hadn't come out from seeing the light of day.
Yeah, luckily transition. I had clean clothes on. Yeah, but you know, it's just a very family-oriented, open place, and it feels different. And like you said, I was at Smith Barney Morgan Stanley for 20 years. I was, let's just say, terrified to leave, and that's a whole nother question. But, you know, it's just been a really easy transition from a people standpoint and the support that I get. And you and I have had conversations about an idea I've had for years. And I just feel like there's more support behind it here and behind me personally as a woman.
That's great to hear. We love the men in this business, but we also love seeing.
Absolutely.
More women come into the business, right? It makes for a more interesting dynamic with clients, right? Mm-hmm. Having that yin and yang between
absolutely
between women mm-hmm. partners.
Yeah.
Great. All right. So this is like the most, I don't know if it's a dreaded question or maybe the most anticipated question is a better word to use for it. But let's be honest, the biggest fear, if not one of the top three biggest fears that advisors have when they move to any firm, including UBS, is the actual transition of their book and their clients. I would love to hear from the two of you what that experience was like, because I can say from a manager standpoint that this has been an incredible transition when I look at the success that the two of you have had in terms of not just your bringover rate, but in terms of your business growth that you've had in the first 18 months. But I did not have to sweat bullets every night worrying about whether or not clients were going to come. And you both took the risk of doing that. So tell our listeners a little bit about what that actual transition was like. Good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah. So for me, because I'll go first, because it was my really first and only transition and last, let's be clear. I was terrified. I had a wonderful divisional manager who was bringing me in. He, you know, kind of talked me through everything. The thing that he made very clear and definitely happened is you're going to be surprised at people who balk at coming or, you know, question coming. And then there'll be people who immediately come over, and that's exactly how it went. And the good thing is you get to get rid of some people that maybe you needed to, right? Don't discount that. That's a huge thing. But the second thing is, if you know your business and the way that we've run our business, there was no doubt in my mind it was going to be successful, but it went really well. Definitely some surprises, but I never looked back from the moment we got here.
I'm so glad to hear that. And you're right. You do live in a bunker for like the first month trying to get clients over. What about you, Grant?
So for me, this was my second time doing this. First time, like I said, was in 2005. So it's been about 17 years since I did it, which was enough time to allow me to forget some of the pain that's involved with this. Looking back on it 18 months later, I would 100% do it all over again. But when you're in the midst of it, it's daunting. It's a ton of work. It's a lot of stress. And the work doesn't start just on day one of the transition, right? The work starts many months before, I mean, your mind is just consumed with this move and it's all you can really think about. Fortunately, as Amy mentioned, we had an amazing divisional manager who, you know, I reached out to him probably daily for 3 months before we made the move with all kinds of questions because I wanted to make sure I knew what to expect, right? It's a leap of faith when you come over to another firm, but I wanted to have every question answered so that I could not only reassure myself, but more importantly, reassure my team this was going to be the right move for us. It was stressful. You know, once the initial official announcement was made, contacting all the clients, and what we decided to do intentionally was to have the financial advisors, me and Amy, reach out to each client. We did not have our staff handle any of that initial contact. We felt like our clients deserved to hear directly from us the exact reasons why we were making this change and answer any questions they had. So it took us a while, right? It took us a couple of days to get through all those calls. But the success that we had from the transition, as you mentioned, Emily, was phenomenal. And I have very high expectations and we exceeded my high expectations. We also, you know, in the first full calendar year, which was 2023, you know, in my 30-year career, I brought in more net new assets. And I'm not talking about assets that were brought over from my previous Morgan Stanley clients. These were non-Morgan Stanley assets. I brought over, you know, Amy and I brought over more net new assets than we have ever had at any calendar year in our combined 55 years in the business. So that was obviously a nice little tailwind after our big move in, at the end of 2022. And then the other thing I'll mention about talking about this transition experience, we were very blessed to be offered by the divisional manager a transition team, a group of individuals, I think there were five or six of them, who were here almost 24/7 for the first 6 weeks, helping us open up all the new accounts and dealing with all the paperwork, just making sure everything went as smoothly as possible. And without that transition team's help, I don't think this would have been quite as smooth. That was something huge that UBS offered to us that other companies that we were talking to did not offer. That was a tremendous resource.
So I want to come back, Amy and Grant, to one piece of this transition that I think is truly special. And it's something I'm immensely proud of both of you for. And that is the fact that, Grant, what you said earlier, where you brought in more new assets in your first 12 months here at UBS, you and Amy together brought in more new assets here to UBS in your first 12 months, not including the assets that were already on the books from Morgan that we were expecting to come over. That's a huge milestone and a really big testament to the types of advisors that the two of you are and how you work with clients. What do you both think, you know, hindsight being 2020 now, what do you think drove that fact and that experience where you were able to bring in so many more new assets and have your best year ever here at UBS over the last, you know, compared to the last 20 years at Morgan Stanley?
Yeah, that's a great question, Emily. And let me also just mention before I think there's two things that drove that. But before I go there, let me just mention, I'm not talking about just a small amount above our previous calendar year record. I'm talking about something in order of magnitude of 2 to 3 times our previous record. 2023 was a massive year in terms of net new assets. And again, as Emily said, these are not assets that came from Morgan Stanley. These are assets that came from other places. And so the two reasons. One is the fact that, as Emily mentioned before, both Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic Bank, those are two banks that are headquartered within 30 miles of where I sit right now. As we all know, in March and April of and May of last year, both of those banks failed. And we have a number of clients who had banking and or investment relationships with both of those banks. And so that certainly helped drive the lion's share of those net new assets. The second part of it, which was something that I did not foresee as part of this whole transition from Morgan Stanley to UBS, is that many clients, as they were moving their assets to us, I think it was now top of mind that this idea of asset consolidation was top of mind to clients. And they just seem more motivated to, you know, while we've had conversations with them in the past about consolidating assets, now that we were moving to a new firm and, you know, they were getting in the habit of signing transfer paperwork, they seem much more open and willing to consolidate other assets that were not with us previously. It wasn't that we had a lot of new clients come in the door last year. It was more, you know, most of these net new assets that we accumulated last year were for existing clients.
Amy, would you agree? And is there anything you would add to that?
I agree. It was an amazing year. It's so amazing to feel not only do your clients come over, but then our manager had mentioned something about people are going to come out of the woodwork and assets are going to come out of the woodwork. And I think it was maybe because your name is out there. Wow, you've been hired by this great firm, you know, and it was really just a wonderful way to, again, validate the move, right, for us personally.
Yeah, well, I think a couple things. One, if clients, you know, for any potential recruits or folks who are thinking about joining UBS or elsewhere for that matter, if your clients are going to be moving their assets to a new firm anyways to be working with you, why not also use that as an opportunity to consolidate, right? I think that opens up the perfect conversation opportunity to try and get assets consolidated that may not have been consolidated previously, right? You provide that catalyst in a move, you provide that catalyst. But where I think you two are being more humble than you should is, yes, there may have been external catalysts, whether it be you moving to UBS, whether it be the banking crisis that took place last year, but clients don't consolidate assets with advisors that they're not abundantly confident in do a wonderful job for them. And advisors who care about not just them, but the other members of their family who are important to them. So I think that's also a really big testament to the quality of service that Shirley and Lori on your team provide to clients, and also the leadership that both of you bring to your clients and their families on a day-to-day basis.
I would agree, Emily. Yeah, I would agree 100%. You know,
yeah.
As we all know, as financial advisors, we could not do this job without our entire team. And Lori and Shirley are incredible teammates. They've done so much for us over the years, and none of this really works without them. You know, this transition, I probably would not have made this transition if they hadn't both agreed to come with me and Amy. They are an invaluable part of this team. And, you know, a lot of the success is due to the service that they're providing.
No doubt. They are rock stars. I am curious. So this is something that I have actually never asked anybody on our podcast, but it's been something I continue to hear more and more about in various recruiting conversations. And I want to get your perspective on this. What, if any, role did UBS's acquisition of Credit Suisse play in terms of your client's appetite or desire to want to work more with UBS? Has that acquisition had an impact at all on your clients or on your business for the positive?
That's hard to quantify, but it certainly doesn't hurt. You know, none of our clients had relationships with Credit Suisse. Credit Suisse doesn't have much of a presence in the US, so most American investors don't really know much about Credit Suisse. But obviously it was in the newspapers, the acquisition that took place in, I think it was April of last year. I think where we probably benefited is just, you know, it was a great case study for me to talk to clients about the financial strength of this company, especially in light of Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic Bank, again, two local banks where most people around here either had banking relationships or they worked for companies who had banking relationships at those companies, or they knew somebody who had a relationship with those companies. There was obviously a lot of concern and worry on the part of many of our clients. We just completed a major acquisition of our 150 plus year Swiss rival. And, you know, we have the resources and the strength and the stability and the solvency to absorb another major bank. And I think that certainly gave a lot of our clients peace of mind having their assets here at UBS.
Yeah. And I would add to that, Grant, because you have to remember, we moved on September 30th of 2022 when the market had a big correction, right? And then 6 months later, we're dealing with bank failures. And if 2008 taught us anything, people are like, wait a minute, is my money secure? Is the company secure? And we were able to show the strength of UBS with that acquisition.
That's super well said, Amy. And I regret not pointing that out earlier. You guys did join us at the end of September when there was a very serious market correction, which I'm sure only exacerbated the anxiety you all had in moving.
I mean, you can't plan that, right? I mean, if people are saying, well, it's not a good time, it's not the perfect time. Well, there's no perfect time, especially when you've got, you know, after that, money market wasn't paying much. And shortly thereafter, suddenly it is. And everyone's like, oh, you know, your cash wasn't doing anything. So there's always an attack on the other side that, you know, somebody can come up with. I'm sure this year it's what, the election or, you know, whatever. But it definitely made for an interesting 6 months, but we sure had the ability to stand up and show the strength of the company in both those periods of time.
So good. I'm just so happy and so proud of the two of you. That is so hard to do on even a bull market with a lot of upside. And for you guys to have had the incredible success that you've had, even with all of those headwinds, is no small feat. And so for anybody listening to this podcast, whether you're in the car, in the shower, you know, wherever you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify, this is a team that has had an incredible journey that I couldn't be happier for, couldn't be more proud of. And it's of no credit to myself. It's really a credit to the two of them and their CSAs. But you guys faced a lot of headwinds coming in and had an absolutely phenomenal year. And it's been nothing but a true pleasure having you here at UBS for the past 18 months. And so I'm selfishly excited to be working with you for the next however many years. So happy that you are here. I want to close out our podcast because we're coming to the end of time, but I'd love for you both to give one piece of advice to any prospective UBS recruit that's listening to this. What's one piece of advice that you would give them as they're contemplating whether or not to move to UBS? And it doesn't need to be pro UBS. It could be about the transition. It could be about anything, how you did your due diligence, but one piece of advice that you would give to folks listening to this today.
I would say just do it. The anxiety that I felt before the move, I'm starting to feel right now as we're talking about this. I will talk to anyone who wants to consider this, and I will give you candidly my experience. It was one of the most difficult but rewarding things I've done in my life. And I couldn't, you know, I know I've said this, but I couldn't be happier. You're always going to find a reason. Things are always going to go good or bad. It doesn't matter, but just do it.
You can make the change. Mm-hmm. What about you, Grant?
I would say, you know, it's important to make yourself uncomfortable at times in your career. It's easy to get in a groove and just complacent, comfortable with everything. And you could get stuck in a rut. You know, humans like routines and they like predictability. They like consistency. But I think it's important every once in a while to replant yourself and take a risk and have courage to make that move. And like I said, I think it's important to make yourself uncomfortable every once in a while. This transition, while it was uncomfortable in the beginning, it's incredibly comforting now. You know, we know exactly where we stand with all of our clients. The clients, you know, who moved with us, obviously, they're going to be clients for life. It's a breath of fresh air. It's nice to have a new environment, a new office, new colleagues, new management team, new resources. Yes, it's all change, but change is inevitable and change can be really good. And after 17 years at the same company, I was ready for that change. And like I said, I have never once doubted this decision. It's been incredible for me and my team and my clients and my family. It was a lot of work. Don't get me wrong. My other piece of advice is, you know, if you are going to make this move, just plan on not seeing much of your family or your significant other for an extended period of time. I mean, Amy and I worked essentially two consecutive months without a day off. And then after that first 2 months, it took me, I'd say about 13 months until I really felt like I could take a deep breath and say, yeah, I think I'm finally there. So it's a lot of work, but I think the reward is far outweighs the work.
That's so great to hear. Thank you both. Really good advice for those listening to this podcast. But thank you both for being on this podcast today. Thank you for the time. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for the partnership. Selfishly, as I've said multiple times, I'm so glad and privileged to be working with you both locally. And I'm so excited about the leaps and bounds of growth that are ahead for you, not just from these first 18 months here, but in the next 18 months and beyond ahead, because I think it's lights out, sky's the limit for you both.
Thank you, Emily.
Thank you so much, Emily.
All right. See you in the new Palo Alto office.
That's right. See you there.
Thank you so much to all of our listeners for joining us in this open conversation. I hope you found it helpful as you continue to explore the possibilities here at UBS. To hear more stories from advisors who have recently joined UBS, you can visit our Financial Advisor Experience Hub at www.ubs.com/advisor-recruiting. I also would encourage you to have a live consultation with advisors who have recently joined us from your current firm to answer additional questions you may have. To schedule a confidential consultation, visit our Financial Advisor Experience Hub again. That address is www.ubs.com/advisor-recruiting. Have a great week, and until next time, your host, Emily.
The material presented in this podcast has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. It is intended to be educational in nature. It is not an advertisement, nor is it a solicitation or any offer to buy or sell any financial instruments or to participate in any particular trading strategy, nor should it be viewed as such by the listener. UBS AG or its affiliates and its employees are not affiliated with any third-party speakers mentioned. None of UBS or its representatives is suggesting that the recipient or any other person take a specific course of action or any action at all in response to this podcast. By accessing and listening to this podcast, the listener acknowledges and agrees with the intended purpose described here and disclaims any expectation or belief that the information constitutes investment advice or a solicitation of any kind. Any financial instruments or services described in this podcast may not be eligible for sale in all jurisdictions or to certain categories of investors. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct. They differ in material ways and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review the client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy. Copyright UBS 2023, all rights reserved. The key symbol and UBS are among the registered and unregistered trademarks of UBS. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member of FINRA and SIPC.